first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Welcome to the worship recording for Easter Sunday at St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church in Ottawa. My name is Gary Vandermeer, and I'm the pastor and rector of St. John's. I've just read the Resurrection Gospel from St. John, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Due to a technology glitch, this is a rereading, as are my sermon remarks which follow. The music is from the recording of the latter part of the Easter Sunday worship recording. My sermon remarks begin and conclude with prayer. Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever. Amen. When will you have the chocolate Easter egg hunt for the children? I was asked this question during Holy Week, and it took me by surprise. As the Interfaith Officer for the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa, I participate in the major celebrations of other faith traditions, and this season of Lent, Holy Week, and Easter has been particularly rich. Ash Wednesday coincided with the first day of Ramadan, and it has been my joy to be invited to participate in two iftars with our Muslim brothers and sisters. Holy Week coincided with Passover, and on Wednesday I was invited to the community Seder at Temple Israel, the Reformed Synagogue of Ottawa. The Seder reads the same story we read on Maundy Thursday about Moses and the liberation of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. The meal is a celebration of liberation, and the synagogue community takes delight in involving their children. Liberation means freedom in many dimensions, including children offering stand-up comedy. It's a freedom to be playful and enjoy lighthearted humor. The children also hunt for the hidden piece of matzah, the unleavened bread recalling the manna in the desert. It was after this reference to the manna, the afikoman, that the rabbi asked me about the chocolate Easter egg hunt. And it's quite a natural question to have if you enjoy sharing what you have in common. But the question still surprised me, not because we don't have an Easter egg, but because we never thought about whether to have one. If you've ever come up with an answer to a question on the spot, a question that you didn't expect to have, you will know how this feels. I'm still a bit surprised at my answer, and here's what I said. I acknowledged enjoying how the children participate in the Seder, but many of the things non-Christians think about Christians are actually very commercial. Santa Claus? Well, we have Santa, as we do, thanks to Coca-Cola. And the Easter Bunny? Peter Cottontail doesn't have a commercial origin. It goes back to the German Lutheran folklore of the Osterhase in the 17th century. But it was American chocolate retailers that turned it into a marketing symbol. These stories are easy to tell, thanks to commercial Christmas and commercial Easter. But here's the question. Are our main stories so unbelievable that we need to substitute other ones? Because that's what happens. We skip our main stories or do them as a confusing add-on. Christmas and Easter are our primary Christian stories. Are they so difficult that we think in the mode of bait and switch? You know, and attract them for the chocolate and then ask them who rolled the stone away from the tomb? What makes our Easter story compelling is it's about a death and a life raised up. But it does seem fantastic and even unbelievable compared to the deaths I know. I did not expect resurrection at any of our funerals of the past year. I'm more like Mary and Martha when Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus. Martha said, "I believe he will rise again on the last day." I have no idea what form the resurrection on the last day would take, but the last day seems reasonable to me. And since I will be dead by the last day, I'm actually not even worried about it. I believe in the goodness of God, and if God is good, I'm sure it will be fine, whatever it looks like. And if God is not good, then that is not the God who is worthy of my worship. And since I do worship, clearly I have invested myself in God being good. It will be fine, whatever happens. But the resurrection of Jesus after 3 days, rather than on the last day, that's hard to tell. Hence the tempting switch to the Easter Bunny. We aren't switching. We have told our core story for all of Holy Week. On Palm and Passion Sunday, Pat Johnston read the full Passion story from Matthew. It was long and engaging. On Maundy Thursday, we told the Moses story and the Last Supper as the first Eucharist, and Jesus modeling leadership as one who serves the needs of the community by washing the disciples' feet. We heard from Belong Ottawa about how the well serves real needs right here in this building. And as you may have heard, we had no lamb supper. Another church went to the butcher and said, "We are here to pick up our lamb." And so we had ham. On Good Friday, we had a dramatic reading of the parts of the Passion from St. John. And it was a diverse group from our congregation read in a beautiful way. At the Easter Vigil, Amani, before her baptism, gave a testimony about in baptism, her decision was to move from a life script of survival and selfishness to a life of intentional kindness. We all had delight as Amani used a cedar branch to sprinkle the waters of baptism on our whole community following her baptism. And we celebrated with a resurrection party with wine and cheese and cake. And then there's the preaching. Pat Johnston talked about the resurrection as Jesus raised up and as an uprising that we are to join. We have a story that does not run out of dimensions. The meaning is not limited to one thing. I've been thinking about how I would add one more dimension on this Easter Sunday, and I'm drawn to Mary in the garden when Jesus says her name. That's when she knows him. In John's Gospel, she is not the first person who is moved by being known, really known. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night with questions about baptism and being born anew. By the end, we see him embalming Jesus' body before it's placed in the tomb. The man born blind is healed by Jesus, and with mud in his eyes, he sees again. Meanwhile, his whole community shows their blindness and cruelty by refusing to see, but Jesus sees him. And the woman at the well, verbally sparring with Jesus about living water, and after Jesus tells her how many husbands she's had, she moves from isolation to gathering her whole community around one who truly knows her. In John's gospel, Jesus goes to his death with self-assurance, confidence even. And here he's back with Mary in calm assurance, saying her name. You may wonder what being known has to do with anything. I think it's everything. I think it says something important about being human. After all, who really knows you? Maybe a few. Maybe you would say your parents, but do they really know everything about you? Maybe a best friend, but there are probably things you wouldn't tell a best friend. Maybe your spouse, but does your spouse know your every thought? And what about you? Do you even really know yourself? The way Jesus knows Mary, this resurrected Jesus, is the way God knows you, understands you, and loves you. We tell this story of our recognition that we need this. Jesus raised up is the Jesus who knows you. It's true understanding, real belonging, real accepting, real loving. To be known makes all the difference. So we could tell Peter Cottontail or we could leave it out. But telling this story of Jesus' resurrection, a story that is hard to explain, is our core task. It's not that the story is impossible. It's that unpacking its angles takes a lifetime. We have real life. We are really known by the risen Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen. God, our strength and salvation, receive all we offer you this day and grant that we who have confessed your name and received new life may live in the joy of the resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome the power of death and cast open the gates to eternal life. God, we thank you for our traditions and rituals by which you grant us this yearly remembrance of the resurrection of Christ. God, make us glad in it. Set our minds on these sacred mysteries and grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and living God, through the rhythm of the Holy Week, you have walked us through the great drama of salvation history. We thank you that you have shown no partiality, but gathering us from every nation, we might cherish the word of the witnesses, those who ate and drank with you after you rose from the dead. Induct us among those witnesses, Lord, that our lives may shine forth with resurrected life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, on Easter we celebrate a transformation from death to life again. Yet we cannot help but know we dwell in a world still all too saturated by death, by the thirst for violence and bloodshed. We pray, Lord, for all those visited by ever more terrible wars in Iran, in Lebanon, across the world. We pray for the Church of your Sepulchre, Lord, forced to close for the first time in 1,000 years. The stone has been rolled from the tomb as Mary in the garden was allowed to recognize you, show yourself in all those cast as enemy and as other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, the stone the builders rejected is the cornerstone of the temple you are building. Give us minds marked with the awareness that we have died with you, that our lives are hidden with you. Make us witnesses. Give us eyes to see those the world rejects, revealed in your glory, here in our city and wherever you might send us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, so we pray.
God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Be steadfast in faith, be joyful in Easter hope, and untiring in love all the days of your life. And the blessing of God, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you today and always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go in peace.